Eileen Miller was an Australian, a Christian businesswoman, and a humanitarian. She was an active contributor to many missionary projects around the world. She died suddenly of a heart attack on March 9, 2013, and her funeral took place in Sydney, Australia on March 18 at 11 a.m. I attended the funeral not only to represent the Eagles Online organization of which Eileen was a board member, but also because I was closely acquainted with Eileen in her spiritual walk and in her life of service to humanity and to the cause of God. My tribute to Eileen is titled, Conduct My Funeral. Those were the words she used when she sent me an email some 3 years earlier instructing me to be present at her funeral and to speak over there. This recording is only a part of the funeral service. On the day of her funeral, I wrote a poem in her honor titled, She Lived and Died Well. It is a simple rhymed poem, which is also my reflection on Eileen's life in the light of my book, Six More Chances. The poem reads, She lived and died well. With enough years I can tell, though not to a ripe old age, yet with the charm of a sage. She survived many defeats and gained victories at retreats, spent cloistered with her God, soaking up his precious word. She had her fair share of wailings and a history of rises from failings, for she stoutly refused to stay down and ran all the way without a frown. A bungled one chance is not the end. Trusting God's six more chances to mend all the cracks, breaks, and painful tears that can switch our joys with crippling fears. May we be comforted by the knowledge that we shall see Eileen again on the resurrection morning. And now, join us as we listen to highlights of Eileen's funeral service.
Morning and welcome to a day that is both of mourning and celebration of our sister and friend Eileen Miller's life. On behalf of the family, the daughters, Priscilla, Stephanie and Jackie, Eileen's mum and extended family, and our family here at Parramatta Church, would like to thank each and every one of you for your attendance here. Many have crossed, traveled across states, time zones, and cities to be here. Thank you. The family would like to remind Everyone, if you'd like to express your thoughts or and wishes, please feel free to write it in a letter or a card, and that would be very much appreciated. God bless.
Good morning. My name's Ronaldo, and I love dialing. This morning, I would like to thank her daughters for the opportunity to do the scripture reading. And in true Eiling style, I'm going to recite a psalm that she loved. I want to do it on behalf of her girlfriends. You know, Eiling had this way of saying, "Hey, girlfriend," and I feel we need to honor her today. About 2 years ago, Eiling stood on the rostrum, and she testified to the congregation about how memorizing God's word was transforming her life. And every opportunity she had within anyone within earshot, she was trying to encourage them to do likewise. And she loved the King James Version. And one of the first passages of scripture she recited was Psalm 139. So this morning, I am going to do likewise. I am going to do it in the New International Version, and I just warn you, I only had 2 days to memorize, and I always said to Eiling, there's no way I can remember anything, so here goes. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all my ways. You discern my going out and my lying down. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord, completely. You hear me in behind, you hear me in before, and you put your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, your hand is there to guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light will become night around me. Even the darkness is not dark for you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is like light to you. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days that you ordained for me were written in your book before even one came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there is any anxious way in me. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God add a blessing to the speaking of his word.
I want to keep this short and simple because I kind of feel like my mother wasn't the sort of person to hide her personality from anybody, so you've all probably got a fairly good idea of what she was like. But I think there's something that she missed out on, and I thought that maybe this would be something that you could add to your memories. So those of you who knew her would know she was extremely focused, very independent, and ridiculously stubborn. And with these qualities, it's no surprise to learn that she was quite emphatic about achieving perfection, about being the best that she could be. And this wasn't a goal that she placed only on herself, but on my sisters and myself as well. She wanted the best for us, and she always pushed us to do better and to aim higher. So for someone who held the attainment of pure excellence as such a priority, I'm here to say that my mother was not perfect. She was flawed, but she was wonderfully flawed. And I think that's something that she missed out on seeing in herself. She would tell you a story one day and forget that she had told you, and then try to tell it to you again the next day. She'd make lame jokes, jokes that were lame beyond the general mother jokes that are lame. And then when she told them, she'd laugh a lot for a long time. She would insist that clothes that had been sitting in the laundry for about 5 minutes had been there for weeks and was certain that they were all someone else's when in fact they were actually always hers. Whenever she heard the kettle boiling, and it didn't matter where in the house she was, somehow she could always hear it, she would ask us to make her a cup of tea. Two bags, one spoonful of Manuka honey, and just lightly topped off with evaporated milk so it was white but still scalding hot. She would badger us about getting parking tickets when she ended up getting more than all of us combined, consistently. She would show us pictures of outfits that she wanted to get for us and would say, "Wouldn't that dress look great?" To which the only suitable reply would be, "On you, Mum, on you." She would text us from her bedroom because she didn't want to walk the 1 to 5 meters from her room to ours, but if she was downstairs, she would insist on yelling for us, despite us being much further away. And she definitely wasn't above pulling out the "I'm your mother" card when she was losing an argument. They aren't the important things or even the great things that my mother would do, but they are the things that my sisters and I will always remember.
I asked my auntie to translate a few words from my grandmother, my Xiao Ying, so my mother's mother, and what she would like me to say on her behalf, and it was that if it wasn't for my mother, she would not have the opportunities that she has had coming to Australia and has given her freedom to be able to live happily here and live here healthily. And that's one thing that she'll never forget. And I've got a few words that my auntie has written. So the now elder sister, and she said these words representing the rest of the siblings. "To our dearest sister, we all remember you as a kind, loving, and most generous person. Whether we are in trouble and need a helping hand, you're always there for us. Your good nature knows no bounds, and we can see this side of you in your three girls, our lovely nieces, Pris, Steph, and Jackie. Your smile will always be etched in our minds. We love you, Chet. May you rest in peace." And what I want to say is, there are many stories to justify this point. It's okay.
But all you need to know was that every decision that she made and everything that she did was for my sisters and I. She took every bullet for us, defended us, and every and all these sacrifices for us. And that's all you need to know, and that's all I need to say. And I will miss her.
One of the reasons I know of many that I will miss Eileen, the pastoral team, is she was a prayer warrior for us. And she would uphold us on a weekly basis and pray for us and that God would lead us. And I will miss that. And I have the privilege of just praying for the family and praying at this moment. So I just ask you just to close your eyes or kneel as we pray together. Father God, the night before Eileen passed away, she had been sharing with me about the need to see our hard times in terms of knowing that there was a greater plan. She was teaching me about how in the story of Elisha in 2 Kings, he was suffering from an illness from which he died. And he'd been chronically ill and in pain for some time. And she would remind me that he must have been in prayer as well, yet he died from that illness. Was his faith lacking, she asked me. No. We just have to trust God, she told me. It's one of God's many mysteries, JP. Father, we have lost a mum. We have lost a sister in you, in Christ. A woman who was passionate about her family, her daughters, about prayer, about your word and the power of that word. A woman who was passionate about life, her smile, her words of encouragement, her work in the community will always be remembered, Father. Thank you for the legacy she's left in our hearts. May your peace rest over the family as they deal with their loss. And help us today to live our lives more passionately in service of others and in service of you. Amen.
When it came to the planning of this service, the family wanted there to be a time for the sharing of memories and tributes and reflections. But we faced a couple of practical problems. One, how can a service do justice to the years that Eileen lived and to the qualities that she displayed? And secondly, how could we provide for so many people wanting to pay their personal tribute? And the answer to both questions was what we couldn't, and we won't be able to. However, over the next few minutes, four people are going to share their tribute to Eileen. And together, these four people will cover some of the diversity of Eileen's life. They'll cover some of those periods, those passions, those qualities, those things that made Eileen the very unique individual that she was. Unfortunately, we can just provide for four people to do that. But if you would like to share your personal tribute, your memory of Eileen, the family would appreciate very much if you would put that memory, that tribute in writing, either in a card or in a letter. Some stationery has been provided for that purpose, and you'll find it on one of the tables in the entrance area of the church. So if you would like to do that, the family would be very appreciative if you would express your tribute in that way.
My name is Samuel Corantin Pipim, originally from Ghana, but I'm based in Michigan. Eileen was my big sister, a close personal friend, and a spiritual confidant. Although we came from different parts of the world, we shared so much in common. We both came from a Pentecostal background, became Seventh-day Adventists. She was a naturalized citizen of Australia, but was a Chinese from Malaysia. It was in Malaysia that over 14 years ago, speaking to Chinese students, I conceived a plan to train young students. This gave birth to Campus, and it is the forerunner of GYC today. 10 years later, Eileen and I met at ASI for the first time, and that started our bond of friendship. She had a big heart, generous partner in ministry to students, young people, and she supported mission projects for students, graduates, and young professionals in Africa. She was there for me when I suffered a major crisis 2 years ago. And through our regular email contacts every week, and phone calls and Skype, the Lord helped Eileen to sail through her own trials and afflictions. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was in Ghana and she called. And we talked about so many things. Little did I know that that would be the last time I would hear her voice. 3 years ago, Eileen gave some specific instructions to me about how her funeral must be conducted. I am here today to honor that request, and I'll try to do so by letting you hear from her own words. Because what you may not know is Eileen was an excellent writer and a poet. As a matter of fact, 3 years ago, on December 27, 2009, we co-published a book together. But she said, "Do not release this book until after my decease." I have the book here. It's titled, "A Treasure to Behold, The Gift of True Friendship." If you want to know what moved Eileen, if you want to know her heart, her struggles, her pain, and her joy, this is a book. With your permission and kind permission, since today is the day I'm unveiling it, she already had a copy, but formally, I want to lay this on her casket as a tribute to her. And then in the course, I'll share just a little glimpse. Before I share what she wanted me to say, because some of you didn't quite know her the way I did. I was her spiritual counselor, so she was vulnerable in sharing something. Before I do so, she specifically asked me to mention publicly certain individuals. And so let me do so, and then I'll share a word. She wanted me to mention her three daughters, Priscilla, Steph, and Jackie. You were the ones who gave reason to your mom to work hard, to continue living and hoping. You journeyed together through valleys and mountains, and you impacted your mom's life tremendously. She loved you, and she knows you loved her, even with all her flaws. She wants the world to thank you three girls. She wants me to extend her appreciation to her ex-husband, Arthur. She's indebted to you more than you think. For example, through you, she learned the principles of business and to be a strong woman. Your ups and downs in marriage drew her closer to God, and she wants me to publicly acknowledge that. Thank you so much. She wants me to thank her relatives, her sister's brother, and her mom. Mom, this is what Eileen said. Because of your gentleness, I learned submissive, dutiful, and be a caring daughter. And these are the qualities that have made me help vulnerable people. She wants to thank the prayer team. You were there in her own times of crisis. Her Muslim brothers and sisters, I don't know whether any of you are here. You taught her humility and surrender and commitment. Partners in AI, Rodney and your team. Through you, Eileen developed a sense of mission in a way she's never before. She wants to acknowledge that. And then she wants to acknowledge the students at the University of Michigan campus, GYC. I'll pass that on to them. And finally, to Carl. In fact, Carl, she calls you my precious business partner. You were her trusted and loyal friend. You were there for her. And she says, look out for my three girls. I'm sure she could have acknowledged many of you, but this she demanded from me to mention it publicly. And so I have. Eileen, I have. And now let me share just a few things and let you hear from her own words. She had a global outlook. Chinese, from Malaysia, became Australian, married to a Brazilian Jew, Pentecostal background, became Protestant, witnessing to Muslim. What a woman! And then she had a heart for Africa. That is why we had our book Black and White. She had broad interests. Care for the elderly, young people, poor, the environment, spirituality, business, excellence. She had a sense of humor. I wish I could go on that. In fact, 3 years ago, I got a text message that read, my funeral, read this email. I feared for the worst, so I quickly jumped up, went to my computer, and then I had this email. I have finally found the person I want to conduct my funeral. You. According to the law of average, I'm more likely to depart before you. Assuming that is the case, you are to conduct my funeral in Sydney, Australia. You will let my girls know it is to be conducted on a fine morning so that the birds and butterflies and living creatures can celebrate my life. I'd like you to put a word on my headstone and let the girls put their own as well. And then she said, say thank you to a couple of individuals, which I have done. I quickly emailed her back. And I said, Eileen, you do so well in business. Now I can understand. That's why you are planning your funeral ahead. And I said, make sure you arrange for the best Australian weather to showcase your demise. She did. I also said, plan your departing time and give us plus or minus 2 weeks to be here. She did. And then I said, get me a tuxedo. She didn't. Fly me first class and house me in the highest Sydney hotel. You want to hear her response? She said, the only hotels with the highest number of stars in Australia will be a sleeping bag out in the paddock under a galaxy of million stars. Tuxedo? She said, no. It will be too hot. That's why I'm in my African tuxedo. Oh, there's more. Time would not allow me. I just wanted you to catch a glimpse of this woman. She was so persistent. You know, on one occasion I said, okay, if you are really serious, I would make your funeral miserable. I'll stand at the door and let everyone pay $1,000 before they enter. She said, if you're able to do it, that would be cool. And then she said, now let me know what you write on my tombstone. I said, no. She said, I give you 5 minutes. I said, is it a threat? Said, call it a threat or not, I give you 5 minutes. And then she counted 3 minutes. Before long, I wrote to her what I would write. I'll pass it on to you girls. Anyway, there's much I can say, but let me just share with you something. I'm just speaking because really time is my enemy. She was a poet. Eileen had an honest, teachable spirit. I'm just looking at it. She was decisive and focused. In fact, in one of her emails, she said, my steps have spring in them. What a poetic way. She loved to talk. She said, I quote, I think fast normally, but sometimes I speak a lot faster than I think. And that has been my downfall. She was bold and unafraid, especially when she found the Lord. She said, I'm at a time in my life where, after decades of sinning against God, His faithfulness rescued me and I surrender to His calling. I am happy to say that I want for nothing and hunger not for man's approval, as now I crave for God's. Man's opinion cannot shape me, nor their judgment condemn. Eileen sought to do big things for God. She said, I'm looking for God to do extraordinary things. Are you ready? You had better be ready, my beloved brother, for God and I do things not in small ways. We do things in the accompaniment of loud clanging cymbals, bangles, and trumpets. Eileen longed for love. I had 10 items. This is number 9. Eileen longed for love. Unfortunately, she sought it in all the wrong places. Because some people came into her life for what they could get. But she discovered the Lord. And she found that human love cannot offer that. And that human love, which has been replaced by divine love, she described it this way. I have fallen in love with Jesus all over again. I've got it. I feel exactly the way I felt the day I was born again at 13 under the pavilion of Billy Graham Crusade in Malaysia. It is like deja vu. Wow, this is incredible. I believe the Lord has really heard the longing cries of my soul in the past few months. Hallelujah. The prodigal had returned. Amen. Eileen was gripped by the grace of God. She said, I had a bad life, but God's grace caught me. As a matter of fact, she was writing her biography titled Gripped by Grace. You want to know, by the way, Jackie, Priscilla, your mom was a poet. She said, I should read this poem. Listen to it. A sin is a sin, no matter how one words it. To continue would surely bring damnation. But halted in its tracks, succumbing no more, I see as only redemption. So quick to rush in to do wrong for the flesh, so painful to let go and to do what is morally right, yet right and truth must forever be upheld, no matter how difficult, how tough the fight. God, forgive me for all I've said and done. Stay close, lest I should be tempted again. Stay close! As a little man of your eye, in the shadow, I'll regard sin with disdain. Grant me strength and serenity. Grant me wisdom and purity. Embrace me. Let me feel your heartbeat. And please begin your healing in me. Friends, there's so much. One last one. She had a forgiving heart. She was hurt by so many people, but she forgave. You want to know why? She was gripped by grace. And I told a story explaining that, which she used so many times, in case you haven't heard it before. A man lost her only son. Someone murdered the only son. 4 people responded differently. The first one was called vengeance. Vengeance tracked down the murderer and killed him. Justice called the police. They arrested that man, tried him, convicted him, executed him. Justice. Mercy pleaded with the judge, spare his life. But grace said to the judge, I want to take custody of the man. I want to adopt him. Takes him home, lives with him forever. Grace. That was what gripped Eileen. And she said, because God offered me grace, I freely forgive all those who hurt me. We are here to honor a Christian stateswoman. She touched our lives. May we live with the grace that gripped her. Thank you.
And now I ask that everyone stands as we sing together the promise that Jesus has for us. What a day that will be. There is coming a day.
I'd invite you to remain standing for the words of committal and for the blessing. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, for as much as you in your infinite love and mercy have permitted our dear sister Eileen to fall asleep in Christ, we tenderly commit her into your secure arms of love and care, in the sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection when Jesus will return in glory. Then this body of weakness shall be changed and made like his glorious body, according to his mighty power, whereby all things shall be subject to him. And now may you, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask all this through him who died for us and rose again, Jesus Christ our Lord, the resurrection and the life. Amen. Please be seated. On behalf of the family, thank you once again for being here today. Your practical presence, your prayers and support mean so much to the family at this time. And refreshments are going to be served in the church hall. And so if you'd like to make your way along the corridor to my left, to your right, along the corridor to the church hall, you're all very welcome to stay for that time of fellowship and sharing. As we leave the church, the family would be very grateful if perhaps you would like just to make your way down to the front, just to pay your last respects to Ai Ling, and then to make your way along the corridor to the hall for refreshments. Once again, thank you for being here and for supporting the family at this time.